When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
From Ole Miss, but before that, Miami is, they're trailing 27-24. I thought their first and goal call was freaking brilliant to run the ball,
yeah,
especially because of where the clock was and your timeout situation. You get 5 yards right there. I thought they should have run the ball again, like a design run. I know they ended up running the ball, but I want to go ahead and play cut number 7 because,
oh, you,
man,
wanted Fletcher to run?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Excuse
you.
Me. Cut number 3 because Carson Beck gets the touchdown and he makes the right decision twice,
yeah,
in this play, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
Three receivers bunch to the left. Beck is looking that way. And still looking. Takes off running. Carson Beck with his legs.
Now, Alec, I don't know if you felt this way. We discussed it before the game. I thought almost straight away in the play, Carson Beck should have peeled off to the left, and I thought he would have scored. But then when you see the play again, kind of the all-22 version, you're like, okay, is that linebacker would have caught him. And then it looks like maybe he's going to get sacked, and then he navigates through and scores the touchdown. I thought that play was amazing.
It was just a theme of the night for Miami is in the trenches they won in every single fashion. The protection that he had in this game was absolutely incredible. Even when it looked like, on that play specifically, it looked like it was going to fall apart,
yeah,
for a second.
Yeah.
But then they kind of, he does drift off to the left, and that gives them time to reposition, set their shoulders again, the offensive line, and they seal everything off. They sealed off an entire 2/3 of the field in front of him. So he had all day to make that decision. I thought he took too long to make the decision, but it was still the right decision because it won them the game. That's how great the protection was.
I'm so glad that you said it took too long because I thought that along the way, but then I also thought he should have pimped his score a little bit and like taken a few more seconds off the clock. But then as soon as he scored, I was like, who cares? What difference does it make? And then Corey's right. Boom, boom, back-to-back passes,
yeah,
from Chambliss, and you're like, holy moly. And man, they had a look. They had a real shot in that last play, and I know some people wanted pass interference. I like the way they called it mutual combat because I thought that the receiver was doing a lot of grabbing and hand fighting there as well.
You can look at the score and go, how is this a good defensive game? And then you look at the first and third quarters and go, watch. And then say, watch the defenses play. Like, they played their asses off last night. We got what we wanted. We knew we were going to get big plays out of, like, good running out of Fletcher, a big play out of Lacey at some point, a big play, a game-breaking play out of Tony. And then you got two quarterbacks last night that delivered clutch, big-time throws over and over and over. Both of them were 23 for 37. Like, that's, like, both of them were that, but I don't know what more you could ask out of a college football playoff game.
Okay, so you walk away from this game being like, hell of a job, Miami. You're a damn good football team. Yes?
Yep.
All right.
And Ole Miss.
Yes, agreed. Regardless of who wins tonight, Miami will be a decided underdog in the championship game. They have been installed as early 3-point underdogs against Oregon and 6.5-point underdogs against Indiana. Now, it's complicated because it is in their home territory, but because of the corporatized nature of the national championship game, it's not going to be nothing but Miami fans there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then Cristobal shut that down in the postgame. Oh, now you get to go play for the championship at home. Yeah, yeah, that's great. We just need to focus on going 1-0 again, which is probably how you get to that point to begin with, by 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, but still feels
that kind of an underdog,
disrespectful.
Do they know that his team had the flu all week and that they were dealing with that, the injuries they overcame throughout that game? Come on.
And you can only say the flu thing if you win, right?
Uh-huh.
Because if Ole Miss trotted out, well, you know, we all had the flu afterwards, you're like, boo, take the loss. But if you win, oh, wow, they won and had the flu?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, I hate to do this snarky of a tease. Coming up next, Mavs and Jazz, and guess who's hurt again? Next on The Fan.
Sorry. spun in the paint, Jackson, another player to guard him. Bryce! Bryce, baby!
Like ice!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk some Mavs Jazz, and the rest of this was going to be, have you been watching and enjoying the maturation and improvement of Cooper Flagg? But
heck yeah.
I agree, but there was another thing that happened in the game last night. Should I assume? Well, I guess I shouldn't assume. I'm going to take a poll here.
You know what happens when you assume, Kevin?
That's right.
You could be wrong.
And I and I don't want that. All right. What was the hierarchy just between our first two segments of watching for DFW sports fans? Were you Mavericks, then college football playoff? Did you flip it the other direction? I realize you can try to watch both either on multiple devices
it.
Or flipping back and forth, yeah. But what was your decision?
I get what you're saying. You assume I was watching Mavericks because it's local. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Kevin, I was actually watching the football game.
That is actually kind of what I assumed.
Because we talked about it first and I had so many thoughts on it.
Right.
But I was keeping up with the Mavericks game in a couple different ways, multiple devices, as you said. And there was one pass Anthony Davis had where he ripped the ball off the like a rebound turn. Didn't even feel like he looked down court and just sent it. And it turns into an easy layup on the other end. I was like, dude, that's great to have a power forward slash center who doesn't want to play center that can do something like that, that can pass the ball with that kind of accuracy up court. Because Jason Kidd wants to be able to move the ball, right? Like he doesn't want to be a stagnant offense. That's what he was. I mean, that's one of the things I think he didn't love about Luka. He would mention that frequently. He was like, "Look, we have to have all of it. You got to be able to have tempo. You got to be able to play half court. You got to be able to do all the things." And so last night that was an awesome pass to see. And then watching that play with Flagg pushing it up court. Dishes it to Nemhard. Nemhard floats it back up, and he finishes. I was like, dude, I'm saying dude a lot today. For the future of the Mavericks, this could be a lot of fun with those guys. So that was my hierarchy, was definitely that. But I was keeping track of what was going on.
Did it end?
And what happened? What did I tell you? We need to beat the good teams and lose to the teams that were better than.
Well, that is exactly what happened yesterday, and I was going to ask, did you get what you wanted? Because you got an efficient shooting night once again from Cooper Flagg, but you still lost the game to a team that theoretically it looks like you're going to be jockeying with for lottery positioning.
Yeah, now instead of being 15 wins, you're at 14 and they're at 13.
I got
you. That's a positive thing there, Kevin. You lose to the bad teams. It doesn't tell you anything about yourself. It just keeps you close.
But on the flip side, in a game that was in the balance, Anthony Davis was sidelined for the final minutes of the Dallas Mavericks loss to Utah. He hurt his left hand. Afterwards, Jason Kidd said, he hurt his left hand. That's all we had.
He looked like he was in serious pain.
And I'm not disputing that he was in pain. It's just frustrating at a time where you're like, we're so close, and the Hawks cleared out the room, and they still have the assets that we want.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe you could make that happen. This is the worst time for you to get hurt. Like, I'm not saying that Anthony Davis is faking it or anything like that. It's just disappointing because you're like, damn it, man. We were so close. The team wants you, and you were out there.
It was nice. I agree with you on this.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And do you still feel like Clay is a tradable piece at some point? Whether or not you're going to get two first-rounders for him, like, that's a different deal.
But I would trade Klay Thompson in a heartbeat. I just don't know what you're going to get from
right.
him.
Right. You got 20 points in the first, like, quarter out of him.
Yeah.
In his 900th game, which is pretty cool. Congratulations to him. You know, so you still highlighted that. I know, you're right. Like, I'm not desperate to trade Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not desperate to do it. I know the rumor has been there, and it has popped up, and I'm like, whenever they do it, I'll be fine. I want to enjoy the player while he's here for a couple reasons.
Yeah.
One, I always wanted the player here in the first place. You know that. We discussed the opportunity a long time ago of trading Dirk so that we could get the Anthony Davis in the first round pick. And people lost their damn minds because why would you ever trade Dirk?
Right.
And they're right. And they would have been right, ultimately, in the grand scheme of things. Don't forget, Kevin was the one that created that segment.
That was like 12 years ago.
That is true. That is very... Actually, it was right after the championship, so whatever.
It was even longer.
Anyway, I love watching him. I really do. I want him to be healthy so I can watch him while he's here. So it's very unfortunate that that happens. I just assume at some point he's going to be gone, and I'll be like, I never really got to enjoy that, because there are nights when that dude can do something special and this team can be special. So that stinks. It stinks a lot for me as a fan, but it also stinks for the part of me that wants to continue to be a team builder.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, but I guess at least if that is the case, then you did lose the game, so
yeah, that's a positive.
That,
yeah, I mean,
I suppose.
It's a positive, and again, watching Cooper Flagg continue to grow into this role. Yesterday, Rolando Blackman said something, Kevin, that stuck with me, and that is the part of, we need him to get to the point where he understands he's the leader of this group. He's the one driving this train. And then when Kyrie comes back, he's still that guy. Like, Kyrie doesn't need to walk in and say, guys, it's my team. Because everybody understands what the impression and the imprint Kyrie's made on this team. They understand it already. But now seeing the future is this kid's. It's his Ferrari to drive. You're seeing that. And him not let up on his aggressiveness as a player, that's the maturation, Kevin, that I'm continuing to follow and hoping builds up. And thank you to Rolando Blackman for pointing that out yesterday.
So I had a few things that I wanted to break down about Cooper Flagg, because I decided to kind of do a research project over the week about the evolution of Cooper Flagg at Duke versus what you've seen in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of capped it off where we ended off in December, but I can pick it up again with the last few games at some point. So let's go back to Nikola Jokic a couple weeks ago before he got hurt in the game and when they were playing the Mavericks. Jokic said, I'm going to say about Flagg, he's got the poise that he played with. He doesn't feel like he's so young out there. He seems like he's played meaningful games and was winning before. That's my opinion. He looked really mature out there. So if the best player in the game gives a thumbs up to the guy that you're now building your franchise around, that seems like a pretty positive thing. But let's take a look at what he did at Duke and how it evolved to the NBA. First half of the regular season. At Duke, Cooper Flagg, 16 of 52 from three. That's 30.8%. Not good. Not good at all. Second half of the regular season, 27 of 62 from three. That's 43.5%.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you a lethal three-point sniper in this league. And then in the NCAA tournament, 9 for 18, 50%. So you saw throughout the regular season, throughout the season at Duke, his three-point percentage got better. Why do we mention the three-point percentage? Because that's clearly been the weakest part of his game mm-hmm. so far in the pros. All right, October and November, NBA, 19 of 75 from three. Ooh, 25%. Not good. December, 13 of 39, 33%. Still not good, but you jumped up 8%. So you're at least starting to follow the trajectory of Duke. But what about across the board? October and November, 17 points a game. Scored 20 or more points six times in 20 games. Last month, 23.5 points per game. Scored 20 or more points nine times in 13 games.
Wow.
So that is a huge jump up. And probably most importantly, although I know we just discussed people might want this team to lose, October, November, this team was 6-14. December, 6-7. So you've seen the 3-point shooting improve. So obviously you've seen the overall scoring improve from Cooper Flagg, and then you've seen the team get better record-wise. Now, I know some people listening might be like, that's great. I want those first two, but not the third one. You can find a way to keep losing games, which you kind of did last night. But the point is, you're already seeing how much better he's gotten in these 3 months.
Well, and then add in, he's more positionally sound right now.
For sure.
Did you love hearing Rolando like put you at ease of the things that I was telling you earlier in the year, Kevin? He's not a point guard.
He's not.
They needed him to learn the point guard position for the sake of learning what everybody else needs to do, because he can play all those positions.
Yeah.
So in his mind, the way that he like processed that is, oh, I know I need that guy to do that. When I'm there, I will do, because he sees the game that way. He understands every role on the court. And I know I don't want to, I'm not bashing Luka here. Luka was the team. Luka was not a I'll be here for this and let me know whenever I'm useful. Luka was everything for this. This is now a player that is useful to everybody on the court in every facet, including defense.
And we talked about that leading into when the Mavericks made the finals. It felt like Luka was on the cusp of breaking NBA history, because no player with that high of a usage rate had ever won a championship. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh, now we're one round away from making it happen.
Right.
And if people still want to reflect on, like, I wish Luka was here and everything, I get it. But unfortunately, like, that's not
I'm just looking at, I'm looking at the difference of
you.
What we have.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that, like, we have a very, like, this is an interchangeable piece on everything on the court. And he knows a little bit about how to run the point if necessary. And at some point, Kevin, I bet he takes that role on. I bet at some point, if they don't get a guy, he takes that role on and he's like, I got this. Let's just build a lethal team around me and we'll figure something out. But right now, the fact that he sees the game the way that he does, and he's aggressive and he's capable and he's mentally right there in it, dude, this is an awesome time for Mavs fans that are in on this bit of where they're going.
And that's why I'm still kind of stuck. Because I love seeing Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg play together. I think that Kyrie Irving is the perfect point guard for Cooper Flagg to play off of. So I realize everybody wants to, whether you want DeBonta, Peterson, Boozer, whoever. I get that. I do. But I can't stop thinking about, like, man, I want to see more of this combination. Like when you talked about, I want to see Anthony Davis. I go back and forth between, can we make a run at a top three or a top four pick? Or I love watching Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg together. Or what Rolando Blackman, again, yesterday, Kyrie's going to come back. That combination is going to be amazing. But make sure everybody knows that you're still the dude. And like, I keep thinking about watching those two play alongside each other, and I'm thinking, but for what? Do I think they're going to make a run at the title?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just strip the team out and be like, all right, so we've got the dude, and so let's just start building around the dude right away with young players?
Well, we'll find out.
We will find out.